your turn. Feel the power of your javelin, its precision. Rely on each other. Unleash your power. Never give up.
Ready, Javelin One?
Let's go!
You are freelancers.
What's going on, Workforce? Brian here, and welcome to Anthem Free Radio, Episode 11. There has been a lot developing around this game, around the story of how this game was developed, and that's actually what this episode is going to be about. We're originally working with Say No to Rage to get him on the podcast, but he had a scheduling conflict, so we will hopefully have him on at some point in the future to talk about, really, the future of Anthem. I honestly think it's going to be a very long road. But before we kind of dive into the article, to the responses, to how the community's feeling, Sir Mav, how is it going? what's your take on this whole week? What are you doing in game? Take it any direction you feel like.
I mean, it's mixed feelings. I mean, I feel for the devs if this is the case. I mean, we obviously know this is the case, that this game was developed in 18 months, as it stated within the article. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's also, on a positive note, that's a huge feat to get what they have out here in 18 months. I mean, the core, like I always said, the core mechanics of the game are incredible. There's just these things that need to be expanded upon as far as end game. But the core, going from the critical path, moving way forward, I think is honestly great. Yes, there are the bugs. I do see the pilot errors still come into play every now and then, but I mean, overall, the stability has improved so much from the very start when they launched the game.
Yeah, we've got March, the update just dropped. We have, pretty much like a week or two ago, April update apparently is being promised is big. I want to kind of address that, I'm going to kind of give a summary of what's kind of been happening in case anybody here is watching it and has not heard the developments. Kotaku, can't even pronounce it. Jason over
Kotaku.
There. Kotaku, thank you. I always say Kotaku, so I'm so bad at words. Let me get into a career in which that I talk a lot and have to say words. He wrote an article really breaking down, what went wrong with Anthem. In it, it talks about development of 18 months. Like, it pretty much since E3, that's sort of like, oh, we finally know what we're building. The article kind of exposes kind of either one of those kind of known secrets within the gaming industry. And if it's is a shock to anybody, like, one of the things that really also then proves it is that he's been getting a lot of people reaching out to him after this article saying, just replace the word BioWare with whatever, and that's my studio. That's the world that I live in. And that's one of the things that I saw when I was studying game development and Halo 2 launched, and just the documentary around that. I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to be locked away in a building, for 9 months or a year to crunch this game out to get it done. The reason people do this is because they're passionate about it. And Phil Spencer even kind of talked about it. He's like, I could go tell a studio that this is the game I want them to make, and if they are not passionate about it, that's just like throwing money down the drain. Like, I'm paraphrasing, but like, there is a reason that, these people do this kind of stuff because they're passionate about it. And so this came out, obviously, it exposed just the long working hours, 10 to 14 hour work days. But the biggest problem, because because I agree with Sir Matt, like, the one side of the story is, holy smokes, like, if what this is, what Anthem at launch, what we got is the work of 18 months of actually focused, targeted work. Wow. Like, they really nailed some things. There are some really amazing things about this game, and there's some things that they really aren't fleshed out. What could they have done if they were able to dedicate the like full 6 years and actually have, like that leadership and that focus? And what it really looks like is a real big failure of leadership and probably issues with the Frostbite engine. All things that can actually be overcome. And Casey Hudson put out a response to it. My first take on this is that when this article came out, I actually was made aware to it by the BioWare blog. BioWare put out this like development blog, and I'm like, what is this about? I read that, and then I read this article, and all the BioWare blog did was basically affirm what Jason was saying to me. I was like, oh, this isn't good. And so that's just kind of like where it felt like maybe they don't get it, or maybe they thought this was some kind of hit piece, when this was essentially, I think, a good eye-opening piece that there's a lot of information in there. So we covered it over on the channel. Did you cover it in any video content that you made yet?
I did not, and unfortunately didn't have time to cover it. So, and I knew we were going to do this podcast anyway, so any of my viewers can come back here and watch your video or the later live stream.
Yeah. So on it. Casey responds to this, and this was posted over on Kotaku.
Kotaku. I actually don't know how to pronounce it.
Kotaku. I have to pronounce it 1,000 times. I'm going to keep trying to say that. I'll put it on like an audio file so I can get it right. But so he responds, I think this is a really good starting point. I think Casey left, you know, through the Anthem development and came back. I think that probably a lot of what makes BioWare, you know, what they call, but the BioWare magic, magical, is probably has a way that he has an approach to it. If his return is something that has really helped flesh out and give us what we got, ideally, you know, him being back at the helm as general manager right now can hopefully help address these issues. But Matt, why don't you break down his email in full? I think it's a good context piece. The reason we're not going to read the main JSON article is that it feels like 30 pages. Like, it took me an hour to read through the whole thing.
Just look through the 8-minute video that Jason put up. That's a lot easier to read than the whole article. It pretty much sums up the whole article in full.
Yeah.
But basically, the email that Casey Husson shared with the staff that was obtained by Kotaku was, "Hey BioWare, I wanted to get a note out to you to share my thoughts on Kotaku article and online discussion as raised. The article mentions many of the problems in development of Anthem and some of our previous projects, and it draws a link between those issues and the quality of our workplace and the well-being of our staff. These problems are real, and it's our top priority to continue working to solve them. What we found out of bounds was the naming of specific developers as targets for public criticism. It's unfair and extremely traumatizing to single out people in this way, and we can't accept the treatment towards any of our staff. That's why we did not participate in the article and made a statement to that effect. When I was offered the opportunity to return to BioWare as general manager, I came into the role knowing the studio was experiencing significant challenges in team health, creative vision, and organizational focus. I was and continue to be excited to help drive improvements in those areas because I love this studio, and above all, I want to create a place where all of you are happy and successful. I'm not going to tell you I've done a good job at that, and on a day like today, I certainly feel like I haven't. But some of the steps we've taken towards this include more focused studio mission and values so that we have clarity on what we are here to do and how we define a high standard for our studio culture. We updated our studio structure around a matrix so that department directors can be fully focused on individual career support and well-being. We are defining better role clarity so that people can succeed better against clear expectations. And we are putting in place production changes that will provide for clear project vision, as well as significant post-production period that will further relieve pressure and anxiety on teams during development. But I know there's much more to do, and we will talk in more detail about other actions we have planning in response to internal feedback and postmortems at next week, all hands," which I've seen all hands is like a basically where all
hands on deck is what it referred to. Yeah. It's a giant meeting.
Yeah. As always, please continue to provide feedback on further steps we can take to make BioWare the best possible place to work. I'm committed to getting us to a place where we are delivering on the highest expectations for BioWare games through a work environment that's among the very best in the world. With your help, we will get there. Please let me know if you'd like to talk in person. I'll be happy to set up a time to hear your thoughts, Casey."
This is, I think, a really good piece. It kind of addresses why they didn't participate in the article. And honestly, like, I'm inclined personally to believe like this article. I think that when he's talking about his all hands on deck, that's where this needs to go. That's where the devs, their studio, especially as they outline beyond other games they're working on, but their plans for the future of Anthem itself, I think this is a good starting point. It shows a little bit of humility. It shows that they're hearing and addressing it. Now, words are words. Hopefully, we're going to see action. And I think what we need, like, as both gamers and even, like, it'd be great from a podcast perspective, but beyond that, as people who've been enjoying this game and want to continue to enjoy this game, when they go to this all hands, when they figure out what their plan is, like, because if it's going to take 12 months to say, like, in 12 months, like, you're going to see, like, all of these things. This is what our goals are. This is what we're going to achieve. Whatever that time frame is, they need to outline that so they can communicate to it. Right now, like, when you go on Reddit, like, there's a lot of frustration. People are like, You know, Travis Scott posted this, outline for Loot 2.0. Why isn't it in the game yet? And I'm just like, it took how long did it take Travis to A, figure it out, and then B, implement it into the game with all, like, the different changes? Like, hopefully with the roadmap, we have a content roadmap, Act 1, 2, and 3, but hopefully with the detailed roadmap of what they're trying to accomplish, gets us all together and also then sets the expectations so people can sit here and say, okay, either I can play the way it is today and but I know what's coming, or I can come back at a certain point in time, and that's when, that way I'm not sitting here just like getting stressed out and, you know, all you're doing is raging, because the anger around this game is surreal. I've been blown away by just how angry people are, and I'm trying to, in my mind, quantify, like, are they really angry, or is this somebody who's just jumping onto the hate train?
Yeah, they still shield about EA.
Well, and that's a reality too. Like, when, like, I think EA needs to take some blame in terms of the Frostbite engine and that company dictation, because,
well, here's, go ahead. And here's the kind of place where I kind of disagree with Jason on. I mean, there are, I agree his article was well written. It was a very good article, but there are points in it where I'm like, I know the there's two perspectives from it, because you know me, I work with Battlefield as well. So I know, mm-hmm. I talked to some of the DICE devs and everything, and they work really well with the Frostbite engine, but it's also,
it's their engine. They built it.
And I think the issue is that staff can be frustrated with an engine that they don't know. And that's with any kind of software that you go through. Yes, there may be the pain points within the software to do certain things in certain mm-hmm. applications,
right?
But still it can be done.
Yeah, it definitely can be, because you see what they've already done. So from an engineering perspective, the key points in the document are really with documentation and having that internal knowledge. So they started working in this, and it's like you kind of feel like you're falling up. You know, you're just like, okay, you ran into a roadblock. One of the things, and this is a management problem, this is a code review problem, this is what I do. So like, I read this and I was like getting some really interesting insights. But as a part of code review, a part of that, like, being the leadership issue, I think, is key, because what did they do? They hacked around it. They couldn't figure out how to make it work, or couldn't figure out how to do it right. And the timetables weren't being communicated right. And even when the devs were telling them, it wasn't being heard. And so you end up having kind of this snowball of a problem. And then that's why things then might take longer down the road to fix. Things might be harder to find that bug. Like, how long did it take them to find and fix the sound bug? Like all of these things are, you know, are somewhat related, but it, you know, can they work and can they make the Frostbite engine work for them? Absolutely. Were their timetables wrong? Yes. But the critical issue beyond all of that is that if you don't know what you're building and you have to keep taking out flying and bringing it back in, taking it out, bringing it back in from a prototype, that's fine. But they didn't have a clear vision of this game. So there's a lot of just time spent that, you know, it is frustrating. Like, honestly, I've been in that situation, just not in game dev, and it mm-hmm. is frustrating when it's like when you're saying you're going to build an apple, and then you build the apple and they're like, throw it out, we're going to build an orange, and you're like,
I think anybody who's been in some kind of sort of project management, whether it's in the gaming industry, construction industry, it doesn't matter, you've had these issues before, you've experienced it, so people can relate to this in any way, mm-hmm. shape or form. Yeah. And I totally agree that there are times that happen. I totally think it was a manager issue. It was more of a vision aspect than anything, because nobody truly knew where they wanted to go with this game until that true leadership came into play and actually, okay, this is what we're doing. This is the vision. This is how it's going. And then that's when you saw everything come together.
When you look at the trailer, like the E3 trailer, and when you look at what we have here, it's clear to see to me. And this all really became clear and solidified my opinion of it. Once we got the instant forge loading, like, it became clear that the vision is like all these different menu screens and all that, like, that was a necessity just to get the game out, as opposed to really where they want to go. And I hope that when they look back at that trailer, they want to go in that same direction, because when you think about it, stepping out into the world, one of the things I've said is that the biggest downplay right now for me is that whenever I have to go back to the fort, like, if I need to go to the fort, like, let's go to the fort. But what would be really cool is finishing a mission and then just going right into the next mission, or just then being in free play and then going in, like where, if you think where the missions and the strongholds were on the map, like they were originally kind of teased, that's exciting, because then you can just be like, hey, I'm, instead of waiting for somebody to ready up, right? Like, just think about it. Like, imagine if you're just running around in free play doing world events while someone's back in the fort, like, okay, I'm doing this. Oh, boom, they're done. They come join you. And then you're like, well, we can either use the menu system to to start that mission that's all the way across the map so we don't have to fly. Or if we want, mm-hmm. we can fly our way there, clearing out world events and experiencing the game that way. Like, more time having fun and less time managing.
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of people don't realize, too, that this was the idea whenever Anthem came into play. It was a seamless adventure. You go from Fort Tarsus out into the world, and that, I guess, the capability... Of course, with the time frame they had, they probably didn't have the capabilities to make
that. At 18 months, that's just insane. Like,
yeah,
at 18 months... Like, they, you know, I know for anybody who's just coming in at, for some reason, halfway through the podcast, if they can fix the leadership problems, which it sounds like they are, you know, but mm-hmm. That's an action coin kind of thing. But with enough time, like, my goodness, getting rid of these load screens, getting it to where it's that seamless kind of thing. I could easily see that where, you know, how the world right now in free play is four players, you know, I can easily see that was also a necessity based off of it. But then all of a sudden you were stepping out into the shared world where it's just like, here you go. That has me really excited for what this game could become if they continue to invest in it. I posted a video yesterday talking about should they try to save Anthem. The majority of people came back and said yes, which actually was really refreshing. Yes, because not only for the devs themselves who've worked and poured their time into it, but also would like to see that recurrence and bonuses and payouts. That would be helpful for them. But yes, because, you know, for the people who've bought in and are excited and are enjoying the game, not to pull the plug, the fear a lot of people allude to is obviously Andromeda. I think the difference here is that Andromeda is a single player game. This was designed as a game as a service, as something that's supposed to be like a 10-year product. So honestly, I think that's the thing I have to try to balance in myself personally, is that I can see the threads from just how they laid everything out, where they want to go. And if they can get there, and hopefully get there within a reasonable amount of time, if it's going to take 3 years to execute that vision, then it takes 3 years. But tell us it's going to take 3 years, and then give us meaningful progression and things like that. But
and I think that's what they're working towards as far as transparency, is they're trying to lay out the building blocks of, okay, this is where we want to be at this and this. And I think they're already focusing probably on Act 2 and Act 3 too. They're trying to roll out what they have for content, but they're preparing us for that later on.
I just hope they can communicate that. Like, I think if they've done a really good job up to the release of the game, right? Since then, in the backlash, you've seen kind of the devs kind of just go back and work. Because essentially, one of the real positives of the article that I saw from the community is people were really hating on the devs. And the devs are the ones like, yeah, we've been calling these things out. We've been telling the people that, you know, the leadership this, and it just wasn't absorbed. So hopefully they can kind of fix that bottleneck, because then all of a sudden people are like, oh my gosh, okay, yeah, we're saying the same thing. And maybe that I think that restored a lot of like understanding within the community, because sometimes I honestly felt like, yeah, they did the best they could with the time frame that they had. And with the right leadership, that this game can be forward. But I think they have to, and I'm going to keep saying it because it's that important. They need to figure out their plan. They need to figure out what it is. They need to communicate it to the player base, so that the player base isn't playing this game in the dark. So that way you can know, like, if Mav, you know, like in, you know, April becomes, we get the new progression system. If we can kind of have an idea of what that's going to be, we can maybe start providing feedback. Ideally, April's not going to be too much that we can really do to impact it. But
yeah,
October or April next year, like if they can have like the idea of what's, you know, we can help to provide feedback as what we like, what we don't. And then that can help them shape the game and to make it something really, truly unique.
I think what also needs to be done is they did it with Battlefield 1, is they had a CTR or CTS server. It's basically where you can go in and test the game or different aspects of new updates that they're putting into the game. I mean, Rainbow Six Siege has it too. I think this is something they need to implement. Yes, there can be something secretive that they don't want the public to know about just yet, but they need, I think, to get a uniformed feedback from all the player base. They need to have this kind of thing set up, at least for the PC players, which is the easiest way to go about it. That way we can test it, we can look at it, and we can give our feedback on, okay, this is not going to work, and this is why. And that, I think that's what they need as well on this too, as well.
So that all being said, you know, I don't think we need to beat that horse anymore. We're right now literally in a wait and see. And what I want to do and focus the rest of the show on here is obviously our impressions of the March update, because we haven't had a chance to get together since then because of scheduling issues. but also kind of looking forward to the April update. And Jesse Anderson, who is part of the BioWare community team, says that, "I've seen some people asking if there's going to be an Anthem game live stream today, and this was tweeted out just yesterday. The answer is no. We're working on exactly what the next live stream is going to show and the new content coming in our big April update. I've always felt like April was going to be a big update. Stronghold, guilds, leaderboards, the expansion of the legendary mission system, and more. And so that's kind of where, let's talk about, I guess, our hopes for April, but let's talk about first our impressions of March. What do you think of the Elysium keys? What do you think of this, like the chests? What do you think about the quality of life adjustments they've made so far?"
I think the Elysian keys are cool and everything. I think the only issue that you might run into as far as when you unlock them is there is a lot of components. There's a lot of parts. There's a lot of embers and everything that you get from these. I mean, it helps you in crafting, essentially, but crafting it can only get you so far, too, as well. I mean, yes, it does help. But I think that's what the majority of people are probably seeing in the Elysian caches, unless you have a group where you go in with friends with four keys. Then you're pretty much guaranteed a decal every time you go in. I think it's a cool concept. I think they should have added armor mm-hmm. in there just to make it cool, because the whole idea of whenever you're in an RPG aspect is what you want to go, you want to progress to something, you want to unlock something. And if somebody's, there's this one like badass armor within the Elysian key, people are just going to be keep grinding for it every day to try to get into there, or play strongholds just to see if they can pull it out mm-hmm. and get lucky.
And it is RNG and actually predictable progression, because as you unlock mm-hmm. things, you've unlocked those. So it's not like you're not
gonna you can see the ticker go down too,
over
as well.
And over and over again. So it's like, oh, this is great. So that way, like, oh, you might get it, the armor first. Okay, cool. But regardless, it's not like you never get the opportunity to get it. As long as you obviously keep grinding out your keys, etc. So I'm with you there. That's one of the things I've been trying to do, just as a part of my daily play, is jump in, get my keys, even if I'm not going to run a stronghold, just letting those kind of stack up so that when I get with friends, when we play together, when you know I play with some buddies on Xbox or whatever, that it's like, yep, I got keys. We can run strongholds and everybody can. You know, we can do it a couple times.
Maybe you can run it by yourself and just, oh, you have four keys. All right, I'm going to open it all
up. Can you open all four? I thought you can use one key per run.
I feel like I've seen somebody, I need to test that out. I've seen somebody open two before, it seemed like.
Maybe that's the case. If that's the case, cool. Then it's like pop, 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 pop. But I'll let other people use their keys as well.
Yeah.
I like it. I think that from a daily reward, kind of that daily, and then also having those chests at the end of the content is exciting to see, like, oh, somebody had a key as well. And then everybody kind of gets to share in that opportunity.
At least it brings you in on a daily basis. That's what mm-hmm. that's what's needed for sure.
Yeah. And so it makes me hopeful to see what other ideas they have. This also feels more of that RPG aspect of the game itself. So I'm like, yes, more things to have, more things to acquire. And then hopefully, you know, having whether a stockpile of keys or whatever just ends up meaning that if I want to go focus in on something, that I have that ability to do so. What do you think about the just the UI Forge adjustment?
Oh, great. I wish they could do it the whole thing. But no, it's so fast.
It makes me wish they could do the whole thing. And it actually kind of brings up that made me actually see where they were going with it, because mm-hmm. the frustration I literally have now is that I'm out in the mission and then, right from the finish screen, I'm right into the forge right away, da da da. And then I have to exit the forge. It's got to load up and then I have to load up another mission. It's like, man, I wish beyond anything that I could either queue up missions to say, I want to go from this to this to that. But beyond that, I wouldn't want them to waste any time. I want them to figure out how to put the missions and everything just
make it seamless.
Just make it seamless, because what they showed me is that they it can be done. As to how much time, I don't know. And honestly, that's something I want to know. I'd love to see them say, like, listen, okay, here's this. This is the target vision. Here's the timeline we're looking at, give or take a couple of months. Cool.
Yeah.
You know,
but that'd be awesome. Like, especially like the dungeon places out in the free play world, if you can just go straight through seamlessly into the world and it, like, say it makes you go to the ground, walk a little bit,
mm-hmm.
whatever they have to do to make
it. Did you ever play Division 1?
Yeah.
Where you had to walk through that Division, you had to kind of walk through the little hall and it's doing its, you know, behind the scenes.
But
it's
they
doing
fixed that thing. Too.
Yeah.
They fixed that too. They made it to where you could just run, maybe not the initial one, but at least from the bottom part of the base into the, where it used to be like the main part of the mm-hmm. base, they made it seamless. So it is possible. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, time and investment and getting the engine to work around them. Mm-hmm. So they had the Elysium keys. We had the you know, just the quality of life adjustments. Loot and changes. Then we had updates to the loot, which essentially I think there was a hot fix they had to push out. Because the problem is that, and we talked about this pre-show, it's people focus on the loot, and I think that's a surface level problem. It's that there's no meaningful progression. We talked about like how awesome would it be if all your gear and your weapons leveled up themselves and you could mm-hmm. upgrade them. However, if you wanted to take XP, like that you're getting in the mission and dump it into a piece of gear, or if it was embers and just, you know, like deconstructing crafting materials that you could pump into the, like, oh, I like the shotgun. And then you could even lock like inscriptions or something. That would be sick. Like, it'd be like, cool, I like this inscription. I don't like these other ones. Level it up. And then have it, you know, the ability to upgrade. And all of a sudden that is predictable progression. That is coincided and complemented by the RNG progression as well. But the RNG progression, I think that's kind of where people look at. And I'm like, even if they just showered you with nothing but legendaries, at some point legendaries aren't, you know, like, what are you doing here? And that kind of leads me into what they've kind of teased about the April update. They said a new, you know, master progression system is coming that's going to use XP to some degree.
But what is it?
What do you want it to be? Like, we talked obviously about the, like, leveling up gear. I just want more bars to fill. I want that investment that I make in the game today to be like something that is really paying off like this time next year, where it's like, man, I'm glad I leveled up all my harvesting skills and now I'm, you know, harvesting like 30 times more material.
God, I have so much materials right now.
Yeah, I have nothing to spend it on.
Yeah, really. I mean, I could use it towards crafting multiple blueprints and everything, but you're not guaranteed anything on this as far because it's only rolling. The inscriptions are only rolling at major and minor inscription levels. They're not rolling at the epic levels of legendary. So I mean, you're really just kind of teetering a build whenever you really want that legendary gear to get that high impact damage to take on GM3 content. Mm-hmm. But mastery system, I think, could go so many ways. We talked about it. It could be an XP system where you're actually utilizing your XP to get to a level to maybe hopefully push it towards certain gear pieces, or is it a mastery system to where we can reroll inscriptions? We don't know yet. We haven't.
Would you want to see something like a Paragon system or something where you kind of just get these additional levels and you can drop skill points into various like non geared stats, right? So you're like, let me increase my, because they gave us a buff to our flight time and our cooldown as a part mm-hmm. of the update. And that's actually one of the things that frustrated me personally was, I wish they would literally have just said, here's this going, you can unlock, you can quest this, this
like they originally had planned with the pilot. They literally had a skill tree. Yeah. They had a pilot skill tree before that you could do all that stuff with. And they didn't add in a system.
I just think when you think of the 18 months, like, I don't think they had probably time to finish it off, but a pilot skill tree would be really cool because then that adds to build diversity.
That also goes to the aspect of, okay, are they leaning towards what we talked about? Are they leaning more towards the RPG aspect, or are they leaning towards more of the looter shooter? It depends on the direction that they really want to go, but they could go both too.
Yeah, I mean, you can always do, but what would you want?
I don't mind. I like both looter shooters and RPGs. I mean, honestly, I do like the leveling system. The leveling system would be really cool, but if it doesn't benefit my ultimate build and it's just these side secondaries like thruster life and everything like that, I'm not too into that. I want more damage. I want more DPS. I want an aspect that change up my builds that I can make this ultimate, like, I got a melee build that I'm trying to make, but it ultimately can't be done without having that physical damage inscriptions potency on the build.
Mm-hmm.
There's just all these little things, like you want to make a purifier build where you have like just effects just priming every single thing around you. I mean, there's so many different things you could do, but it's difficult to do when you can't min-max your builds right now.
Right.
And that's kind of the aspect I want this mastery system to handle, is an aspect to where I can finally min-max builds. And that's ultimately my goal.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to min-max my build so I can take on GM3 content and feel like a god of some sort.
And then hopefully they can introduce like more world bosses and more like insanely difficult things to do. Because obviously the thing that follows the big April update is the big May update where it's the Cataclysm. And what does that mean? And what does that look like?
Do we need to gear up for it, or is it going to be scalable to other? I mean, that's the thing we don't know. I mean, we got teased by it during the demo that it's going to be this crazy event, which it looked cool. It looked really cool. It spawned this crazy stuff mm-hmm. all around. But do we need to be a certain level to take on content within the Cataclysm, which they teased that we did, but we don't know what the aspect is.
I think one of the things that I want to see with April, because like they've kind of teased and hinted at that the new stronghold's going to be kind of Dominion themed. I think that's mm-hmm. going to be interesting to see how having a new stronghold is going to be good. My hope is that they can somewhat look at a cadence of Because I think the strongholds are some of the most fun content. Mm-hmm. And even though I've played through them like numerous times now as a part of the like the Path of Valor that I'm still working on both systems. But it's like, yeah, I really enjoy the stronghold. I think my favorite at the end of the day is still Tyrant Mind. Like I still visibly and visually like enjoy just how everything changes there. But I'm excited that we can get more. And I'm hopeful that obviously like by this time next year, we could be sitting here not just on, you know, six or seven, but like, man, imagine if we have 10 strongholds with the different, you know, different varieties of ways that you can play so that you're kind of getting a different look. Because at some point, like if I run Tyrant Mind 100 times, it doesn't matter how I feel about it today. I'm going to be tired of it because it's like, okay, because we can take out the Swarm Tyrant like insanely quick. Almost comically
yeah,
quick
GM2,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, even comically quick now because it's like, all right.
And that's the aspect that April update that came in too was we got some major buffs to our javelins too. I mean, we feel way more power. I definitely feel more powerful in a lot of aspects. And they made some changes. Like there was this one component for I think the storm where snipe you had to kill an enemy with sniper weak point damage, which just didn't make sense because that's enforcing you to use a sniper with that piece of gear. And they changed it up to where you have that freedom to use whatever weapon you want with that gear too. So. Mm-hmm. If they can allow more freedoms like that, that's the main thing that I want. I want freedom to build the way I want to build my javelin and not have a meta to where there's always going to be a meta that just happens in any RPG or looter shooter game.
Mm-hmm.
But I want that aspect of having the freedom to make these insane builds.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and that's what I'm really curious about it. Now, the strength in Jesse's tweet here is that, you know, they've been trying to do these like live streams every 2 weeks. Obviously, this is all coming off of the Jason's article.
Kotaku.
God, Lord, like I cannot, I can, my brain can't even.
That word is your demon right now. It does not.
That and Pacific. Like I, you know, like if you're saying, trying to say something is unique or specific, like I struggle with that word mentally too. Anyway, more you know about me. Obviously off of that, like I think essentially they need to, you know, to figure it out and then. Yeah, like they need to show up. If this April update is big, like why is it big? What's it going to be? And my concern was that they might tease out the April update with an update each week, right? Like if the mm-hmm. game's stable and it doesn't need like to get like hot fix, one of the things we see that has a growing frustration in the community is when, hey, I pushed out this update and it's supposed to fix this thing. And it's like, oh, it broke this other thing. And everybody gets like mad. It's like, okay, it'd be cool if they had a public test realm. Maybe they will at some point. But rather than feel like they have to rush out this April update, whatever day it's going to be, whether if it's the middle or the end of April, that it's like, here is this, like, just boom and boom. Like, and where it's like, okay, they focused it, it's tested, it's really, and it's ready to go. And then we can get excited about it. We can get hyped about it. Where I don't need, you know, like 30 pages of patch notes, but I really kind of detailing out like, hey, yeah, here's the new stronghold. Yeah, here's how we're going to address this. And the things that the April update doesn't address, hopefully at that time, they can start to talk about that. And they say, whether if it's locked down in stone or not, they can say, we hear you on these things. We're still working and thinking through it and we'll get back to you. So that way people aren't going to, whatever this update comes in, they're not going to be like, well, they didn't add armor to the Elysium chests. They didn't, you know, like how to, you know, well, okay, we hear you. This is how we're going to fix it. Or we hear you. We don't have our plan, you know, set in stone today. This is what we're going to do going forward.
That's another thing I hope they fix. Really, like that one needs to be fixed really soon. And that's with ultimately any game. Like people want cosmetics. It's just a given known. I mean, the model works very well. And that's what we just saw in the new update with Battlefield. They have boins is what we call them. They're basically Battlefield coins that you can use for premium, like real money to buy
mm-hmm.
certain aspects of things. But you need to come out with stuff that people want to pay money for. And there's so many things that they could do with Anthem. They have freedom, creativity freedom over here with stuff they could do.
Loving the emotes. Like I'm trying to, like, that's one of the things that the game does have right now is that farming coins. Like it's like one of the things that I look at it. It's like, okay, like anything that I can do that's getting me coin is a really good thing to do because that's something that's going to have value in 3 months and 6 months and then a year's time that I can sit here and say, great. Like, cause they did that. They just had the emote, which was like the failed crane kick.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is great. This is so good. Like I'm not a vinyl guy. Like I'm not a, You know, the gear is fine. The gear is cool if I could find, like, I would be even fine with them putting it behind coin and behind shards if it was like, okay, you have to do this, like GM3 boss, and this is, you have to do it. We'll put a timer on this thing, and if you can beat it within the timer, you get the chest, or you unlock it, and then you have to spend a little coin, or like, even one of the things. But if they have that aspirational content where you see that piece of gear and you're like, they don't have gear lust in this game. And it's like, because you can't see my components. You can't see, like, you can see my gun, and maybe they could also add in some stuff that could even make that even spicier or something like that. Like, oh, cool, unique skins for whenever you've leveled up your gun to 100 and then 200. You know, it's like something that helps drive that, like, that gear lust of like, how did you do that?
That would incentivize you to gear up too, as well. If it was locked behind, like you had to do a GM3 stronghold of some sort. I mean,
well, and not just like GM3 being the only gate. Like they could easily have it behind GM1 and GM2, like different things, right? So that you're like, oh, cool. Imagine if you just went and did it in GM3, literally would unlock anything that, you know, any other unlocks that have that were tied into that same piece of content.
To do one GM3 or you have to do two GM2s, like you have to do a certain number amount.
Exactly. And so, but that gear lust, that aspirational content to really kind of make your investment pay off, you know, for a long time. I think that would be really key, really critical. And I definitely agree. Everything, like when the gear comes out in the store, like all I go do is look for the emotes. Mm-hmm. and maybe they can, I don't know how to balance that out. You know, I think that when you look at, I like their economy model. I like the fact that you can earn everything that is in the game. I like that the updates are free. I like all of that. And I wouldn't mind supporting the game, but I think they need to put together a plan so that I feel like that investment, if I'm going to invest in that aspect, that they're taking care of their people and that they're also, and they can put together that roadmap. And I think that's going to help. You know, I think like when I say when it's the long road for them, it's not about just making the game good. It's about restoring kind of faith in what it means for BioWare. Because if they don't, when we talk about should they, you know, save this game, if they choose not to, or if they don't save this game, the next BioWare game that's a games as a service, think the next, like if they try to do Dragon Age as a games as a service, they try to do anything else in this space, like it would be like, no, like avoid
yeah,
it.
They can't do like what they did with Andromeda, where it got cut ties and everything because that didn't restore faith. But if they can restore faith in Anthem, that means whenever they do like reveal, okay, this is Dragon Age 4, this is what's going on, this is going to allow people to have confidence in, okay, this is going to be another great game.
I think also like as both as creators in the creator economy and as also like the new video game journalists and people who do their job, I think this can hopefully then help them ask the right questions, get at the right detail, and then, you know, they can hopefully learn from this. It's unfortunate that they don't. I think that's a complaint people bring up. Like, why didn't they learn from the failures of Destiny, or why didn't they learn from the struggles with these other games, like even with the struggles of Division 1? And it's like, you know, sometimes, like, yeah, like, I mean, when we look at Final Fantasy 14 as a game that I play a lot of, they didn't learn from the like 1.0 didn't learn from the successes and the issues of other games out there. And it took 2.0 for them, you know, Yoshi-P coming in, the right leadership coming in and saying, you guys need to play what's going on. You need to see what's going on in the market because we can learn lessons from them. We can, both positive and negative. What did we like about this? What do we think we can do better, different, or what? Why we don't need to recreate the wheel. And a lot of Anthem was them recreating the wheel from scratch. And that's why some of these things took so long, because they didn't pull from anything in the past.
Yeah, if that was also the thing, is they were making a new IP. That's always a hard struggle in the first place too. But they also, like they talked about, the leadership wasn't looking at the vision, and we need to look at Destiny 1. We need to look at, or Destiny, we need to look at Destiny 2. We need to look at Division 1 and see like what they're doing, because this is the kind of game we're making. I think that's the issue that was happening within the core of BioWare at the time, is they didn't know exactly what the vision was. That was essentially the problem.
Yeah,
they didn't know which road they were taking.
So, final thoughts. For April, like, is there, like, what is your number one thing that you're looking forward to the most?
I'm looking forward to the Master Regression, depending on what it is. We get a new stronghold. I'm always down for new content, so that's always going to be fun rolling in there. But they need to get it right. They need to get the stronghold right. They need to get the guilds right. And they need to get the Master Progression system right. Because if they fail in this update, It's probably going to lose player base because of it.
Well, I think they've probably lost a big portion of the player base that's like passionate about it. And I think everybody, like a lot of people keep telling me like, just let me know when it's time. Like there's other games to play. That's the thing. Like don't like, if you're burned out, if you're frustrated, like go find something fun to do and then check back in a couple of months and see how it's doing. I think for me, I would say it's kind of a combination of leaderboards and guilds. Like leaderboards are passive in a way of PvP, just a bragging rights. I'm hoping leaderboards comes into play with like at the end screen different numbers, like how much damage you output, how much like all of these things. Like I want more stats. I want more stats, more stats. So my hope and the risk here is that I'm putting a lot of faith in what they mean by leaderboards, and it maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just the start of leaderboards. And then it's like, okay, I still want more, I still want more. But then also the guild concept, because the alliance concept is fascinating. The guilds concept is something that I think builds that community.
But it needs to have the tools in order for people
Yeah.
to be able to build a community around. It
Oh
can't
yeah,
be
like
like it's
don't
something that, hey, come join my guild and that's it.
like I don't have the ability to have officers. I don't have the ability to do this. I don't have, like if it's something where it's so bare bones, it's like maybe wait. Make sure that it's fully fleshed out, that you have all the tools that you would want when running a guild, you know?
I think that's what people are looking for. They're not looking for, because I think it's more of an, people are looking for more of an MMO type guild system than an actual RPG guild system.
When somebody says guild, like that's what I'm thinking of, the kind of the MMO style.
That's what I'm thinking of too. And it's an aspect of being able to build a community, build a group that you can aspect, just same as we build a community
Yeah.
out in social media world.
Exactly. And if they can, and hopefully that's infused with the tools, but I think leaderboards is going to be interesting because I'm a subscribing that what do you lead on, right? Like if it's just gear score, then that's minor. But if it's like, okay, cool, like leaderboards, here's this DPS number or what you did this week or what you did this month, who, you know, what's going on? Like anything that's gonna, like, if nothing else, have a little bit of bragging rights. Like, oh man, did you see this? And how cool was that? You know, or man, you need to step up your game. Like, I can't believe.
How many times did you complete a GM3 stronghold
Right.
on?
How many kills did you get in a specific thing, or how many melee, whatever? Like, it's just like I love stats. I'm a baseball nerd at heart. And so every little stat, like, okay, when it was raining and he was left-handed, what happened? Like, okay, cool. I that has that that has me the most excited to see what they mean by that. And then the guild system, I think, is kind of, for me, from a community perspective, for the like playing on PC, playing on Xbox, it's like I obviously want crossplay, and
Still hoping for it.
I'm just waiting for it. I'm not hoping. They said
Sure.
it
Wait,
technologically
no,
is done.
they have the system is in place for it to be implemented. It's just all about when it's going to happen.
I think that would end up being something that will also help the life of this game, because essentially, like, we got, you know, people on PS4, Xbox, PC. Like, if it's like, cool, we're all together, especially with a guild, and we've got, you know, like, hey, check it out, we're playing, we're having a good time. I think that could be something really powerful for the overall piece of this game. So I mean obviously we're in April. Like, if we, like, I'm gonna just pull up a calendar, because like this is like when we start to kind of predict things. Typically in the update world, things happen on a Tuesday. If they're not ready to show us anything, obviously then I would think the 23rd or the 30th would be sometime around when this thing's going to be happening. I believe I'm closing on a house on the 25th of this, so that's a couple weeks from today. So we're going to be moving to a little bit north of here. Yeah, I'm excited. So there's going to be like some downtime that I have, but I'm hopeful that it could be the 23rd. I think the 23rd would be a really solid date, but only if it's ready. So in theory, in my mind, if it's going to be the 23rd, I would suspect that sometime maybe the 17th. Like, I think that what they need to do is just be quiet, just figure out their issues, figure it out internally. If they have their all hands on deck next week, that means hopefully they're presenting something to us on the 17th, and we're either checking it out then. Otherwise, if it's not the 17th, probably the 24th. You know, that's probably when we're gonna kind of see a bigger picture for what April kind of looks like. But I always want more information sooner. So,
I mean, I'm really hoping that he puts out a live stream on the 10th, but if it's not ready, don't do it.
right. I think if
That's the aspect that Jesse's already talked about. He's not going to have the live stream until they have something to show us that's officially ingrained in a build and they can show everything in full
Yeah,
context.
no more. And I think that's one of the things we saw from UNT Drew, where he was talking about, like, you know, on Reddit, he actually responded to a thread because people were like, oh, why are y'all being quiet? It's like, we're trying not to put teases out there. What we want is we want to get you hard facts. And that's actually what we need, because it's like, oh, you know, because essentially one of the problems with teases, just like we know that leaderboards and guilds are coming, I have the tendency that it's like, oh, it could be this or it could be this, it could be this. I'm honestly trying to set those expectations really low. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what I encourage people. Set them low. Also, I guess one of the things that I get before we wrap up in our final thoughts, you know, people, you know, there's a lot of hate that we get from posting Anthem content. Like, it's pretty interesting to see people who are upset. And I'd honestly say, like, you know what, if you're upset about the game, like, I would step away. I would honestly just take a break, go play something else. Borderlands 1 Remastered just launched today. Like, if you're really wanting that looter shooter, well, the Handsome Jack collection's out. I think it probably got its 4K update, but Borderlands 1 got remastered.
That's right.
You know, and so go check that out. That should be a good and enjoyable, you know, looter shooter game for you to check out. You know, and then, yeah, I would say set expectations to 6 to 12 months. 6 to 12 months. Not that they're going to have, it's not, the game's not going to have content or update, but if you're really looking at some of the, like, the big sweeping fixes and, you know, getting they're going to have to present what it is, but 6 to 12 months. Game development is hard and it takes a lot of time. And the thing that just, when I see people who are like, why haven't they fixed this yet? Why isn't it done? It's been 2 days since we posted on, you know, on Reddit about it and they responded, like, 6 to 12 months. Think if you can, if it's on the active board list, if it's not on the backlog waiting for someday in the future, but if they're actively working on it, you know, depending on what the issue is, but if you can set that timetable in your mind, I think you'll have a much happier
or at least come back around May or June when they'll probably show Act 2 roadmap.
Well, and what's going on in May or June? You know, E3, that could be a good time for them to sit here and, you know, say,
Act 2 will probably present it at E3 for sure.
Yeah, it's like, because if it's May and then June, you know, hey, like, here's Act 2. It starts today. Here's what it does. Here's what we fixed. It's a good time to get in front of a lot of people that time. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. Got anything else you want to add? Any hopes or fears? Or if not, where can people find you?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything. You can find me at iGameHDR on Twitch, on YouTube, and on Twitter. Give me a follow. I'll be covering more stuff on Battlefield, and as Anthem shows up any updates, I'll get, you know, all the updates out on my channels as well.
And for me, I'm on Work to Game, Work Number 2 Game on Twitch, Work 2 Game videos over on YouTube, and on Work to Game on Twitter. So it's a little bit hit or miss or all around there. We're going to be talking about RPGs and different things like that. So we've got lots of things that I'm working on that are fun, and I'm going to see if I can't try to finish up my Smash guides, because I've gotten like a lot of the characters done. For these 101s, just breaking down like different stat move, like what's the percentage on numbers. So I'm going to see if I can't get to that. Going to finish up some story summary stuff, and hopefully we'll start diving into some Anthem lore. I just unlocked a bunch of things just this week in the world of Anthem that I want to try to wrap my head around. We're going to hopefully have Say No to Rage on the podcast, either this one or the Casually Hardcore at some point in the future. We're still working out that scheduling. It's podcasting is all about, are you available, and is the other people available as well? So it's a big, big undertaking. All right. Without further ado, thanks so much for everybody hanging out with us here for Anthem Free Radio. My name is Brian.
And I'm Sir Mav.
Hope you guys have a fantastic week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Later, guys.
Hey guys, it's me, Brian. Thanks so much for watching this video. If you're new here, we hope you hit that subscribe button. Check us out. We talk a lot about video games, and we hope to at least hear from you in the comments below. We also try to respond to our comments. You know, we really appreciate the comments, the discussion, all the various points of view that everybody is so kindly, impolitely or impolitely shares with us from time to time. So anyway, guys, again, thanks for watching this video. We hope you hit that like button. We hope you hit that subscribe button. Come back for more content each and every day. We post a lot around here, and we'd love to hear from you about what you like about video games and everything, and especially if you have any questions that you're stuck on in anything. So anyway, signing off. See you next time.